Hi guys, I do love reading stories to you, but sometimes I like to draw and write. I've entered two confounding competition. Good vocabulary there. They are the famous BBC 500 Words competition, but if you want to enter, unfortunately, its deadline was some date in November. The other one is Adam K's Incredible Inventions competition. I'll say that you should get his books. They are funny and have loads of facts in. You can still enter, but scroll down and my one is at the shape-shifting robot. So you click on ideas, it'll be on the home page. When on ideas, you scroll down if you want a bit more better explanation. My one is the shape-shifting robot, which I think is a fantastic idea. Do you? Well, I do. Talking about facts, I've gotten an amazing book by Mark Barfield and Jess Bradley called A Day in the Life of a Caveman, a Queen, and Everything in Between. Let's read it. A Day in the Life of a Woolly Mammoth. Day 1. Talking about an ice age, today was freezing. Glad my long wool brownie coat with its two layers of fur, my long tusks sweeping the snow of my yummy grass underneath. Also secretly pleased to have a skin flap that keeps released. Pleased to have a skin flap that keeps my rare warm. Sorry that I pronounced skin flap twice. So that, but I think I'm in my bookmark there. No mammoth wants a frozen bum, do they? I certainly wouldn't. Day 2. Tooth trouble! I was flirting with herd when one of my four big molars came out. I need those to grind up all the plants I pull up with my trunk. Then I remembered that we get 6 sets of teeth in our 60-year lives. Phew, I wonder if there's a mammoth tooth fairy. My molar would be worth a fortune. About 30 pounds, I would bet. Because did you know our ones, when a little tooth is worth 1.2 centimetres? So that's why you get stuff like £1.20p. When look up, big molar. That's 30 centimetres. Imagine a 30 centimetre teeth. That would be massive. Day 3. Today, Mimi, the female mammoth who heads our herd, called me Fatneck. I blushed, as it is such a big compliment. We all store fat in our pumps just behind our heads, which gets us through a lot of winter when food is short, and it keeps us warm. No one likes a skinny mammoth, my lovely hump. Day 4. Worryingly warm weather today. Not good when you're covered in thick fur. Someone in the herd muttered about something like climate change and how it might kill us one day. But Mimi shut him up by hitting him with her tusks. Thank goodness. Not good. Day 5. Those tiny humans can be so annoying. Several of them tried to ambush me today. I've heard horror stories that they build shelters from our bones and skins and carve tools out of our tusks. Luckily, I saw them coming and escape. My fur may be woolly, but not my brain. So long, suckers! Me, humans making a mammoth mistake. a mammoth mistake. Some alliteration. Everybody loves alliteration, right? Right? Anyway, Egyptian cat. Day one. Cats certainly do always love land on their feet. Yesterday, I was a stray. Today, I've been welcomed in a human's family, home. Already, they've named me Mew and feed me fish and fed me a fish head. I'm being treated like a little fairy god. Fish head, a delicacy. Day two. Oops, seems like they have another cat, also called Mew, who is much older than me. Old Mew says they called us cats Moo after the noise we make. They also consider us special that any human who kills the cats gets sentenced to death. Now he reckons a dog's man's best friend. Not me. Day three. Me and Old Mew went hunting today and took out 3 mice, 2 rats, and a scorpion and a cobra. Old Mew says this is why humans love us so much. Keep them safe. Frankly, I don't care. Just keep the fish heads coming. Cats always care about fish heads. Is that the moral? No, there's more. Day 4. Tragedy. Poor old Mew has battled his last cobra. Our humans are so upset they have shaved off their eyebrows in a shower of mourning. They've also had old Mew's body covered in oils and wrapped in bandages like a mummy. It does look funny. I wonder why they have done it. Mummified old Mew. Day 5. I wonder why they've done it. They might explain on day 5. Long journey today to a temple dedicated to a cat-headed goddess named Bastet. Since old Mew is going to spend the afterlife here, along with hundreds of other dead cats, all in jars or coffins. I'll miss him, but I've got lots of cuddles, and I'm sure the humans will be happy again once their eyebrows grow back. Meow! Next, we're going to learn about a Greek philosopher who surprisingly loved wrestling. Hello, my name is Plato. It's about 360 BC, and I'm a real famous brain box. Never forget, I used to be a wrestler. Grr! True, he was. Now, I run a school in Athens named the Academy, where all the glamorous people can come to learn and argue in a beautiful grove of oil trees. Not sure I agree, Plato. Careful, I used to be a wrestler. We go buff and slap me philosophers. Philosophy comes from two great words, man and life. Of wisdom, chop chop. Different philosophers have different ideas. Socrates, I said being good was good enough to make you happy. Honest. Diogenes, I came up with the idea of Eos. Diogenes, I lived in a dark nature. Many also very good at myths. Including me. I have no idea how to pronounce these shapes. Except cube. So the ones are like one that says tetrahedron. I'm guessing. Cube. Octahedron. And icosahedron. Ah. So, they sound similar, don't they? These 3D shapes were known as planet oxalates today. The philosopher Pythagoras also had a famous bit of maths named after him.
These squares made me hip.
However, at the Academy, this is my star pupil, Aristotle. Thank you. You flatter me, Master. However, whereas you believe I thought alone is enough to reveal truth, consider only direct observation can reveal. Like, what do you say to that? Hem! Ressa! He sure loves wrestling. Next, I wonder what we're going to learn about. It could be something really cool. Oh! It's a war elephant. Ooh!
Hello. Welcome to Northern Italy in December 218 BCE. I'm a war elephant, and I'm feeling pretty grumpy, to be honest. Come on a trip to Italy, they said. It'll be fun. Well, this is the one trip to Italy I shall never forget. There were soldiers, and they were on top of me. It's all this man's fault. Hannibal Barca. He lived from 247 BCE to C 181 BCE. He's a military general from the city of Carthage, and we're launching a surprise attack on the Roman Emperor. I thought surprise meant everyone walking on tiptoe. It actually meant me and 46 other elephants walking with his army all the way from Spain, 1,600 kilometers, including crossing the Italian Alps. There was some saying, I'm cold. Some said, I'm hungry. Some said they were scared of heights. The Roman army used fire to try to frighten us elephants. To be honest, I'm just glad of the wolf. Why do we have to come here in the winter?
Help! Fool!
We won the battle, but only one elephant survived. Me.
Achoo! Did you like my voice? 'Cause elephants need to learn to speak a bit louder. Next, we're going to learn something on page 98. I wonder who he is or she is. It could be somebody that we don't even know. And it is...
Wait, a beard? A Russian beard? I want to learn about a Russian beard.
Welcome to Russia in 61705. This is weird. I'm a beard.
True, I know.
No, the beard does all the talking. But I feel I need to speak here. That's this guy, Peter the Great, the star of Russia.
Just call me Great.
PTJ is trying to stretch sleepy Russia to the modern world by creating a proper army and navy and building a new capital.
Coming soon. St. Petersburg,
named after me, naturally.
To help me in this, he went on a tour of Europe in 1697 to 98 and came back with lots of new ideas. Now the beard's going to talk.
One of them is that Russia should dress in more to up-to-date clothes.
Darling, that is all extremely old style, new style.
Beards are also banned from this looking old fashion. This means the police can shave you.
Imagine that. That would be weird. Police became barbers.
Only the clergy and the slave-like peasant serfs are allowed to have beards.
This beard is the only thing I've grown. It's the only thing I own.
If you want to keep your beard, you can pay a tax and get a special token to show you have paid. Wealthy merchants with beards face a tax of 100 rubles a year.
a beard token. There's a picture of a beard token. Anyway, I think you might want to see it, but I can't show you. So this one looks like somebody has a beard, then some Russian writing on top. Old Russian, I think. Only my own hands and baby's decks. It's time for me to hide. Hello, officer. The text ran until 1772. Phew, that was a close shave. Bearnies, I'm after you. Not thank goodness. Ah, so that's funny. So next we'll head to page 120 to learn about smartphones and learn about the devices that you might have in your house. So 120. Should we go to a movie maker? Nah. Let's go to the movie maker. The movie maker looks cool, doesn't he? Even though it's all coloured in black and white, weirdly. A day in the life of a movie maker. Los Angeles, California, 1927. And one young man is very worried.
Yes, I'm so worried. I'm also lost for words, which is iconic. This is why.
A film called The Jazz Singer has just been released, and it's the world's first theatre-length taking picture. The film is a massive hit, though it just has 2 minutes of spoken dialogue, including this classic line. You ain't heard nothing yet. He was right. Before talkies, so-called silent movies use title cards like this for dialogue.
Wow, we're in a movie!
Yep. I'm speechless. And films had live musical accompaniment. Oh, we should piano play with son. He's terrible. Silent movies created some huge stars. Charlie Chaplin, world's first megastar. Mary Bickwin, queen of the movies. Rin Tin Tin, dog star? Well, I've never heard of a dog star. But dogs can still be famous like humans. Now, some didn't sound quite right for the talkies. Meow. Cut! You're fired! Many silent stars lost their careers. Poor them. Plus, the film studios made one part of Los Angeles world famous. Hollywood. The land part of the sign was Hollywood Land. The land part of the site was moved in 1949. So can you believe that Hollywood used to be called Hollywood Land? But my job was to write the title cards. So now I need to come back with an idea to hit myself for a smash hit talkie. But what? Dinosaurs escape from a fake bug! That's crazy, you're fired! I didn't get that. The end. Next page, smartphone. Hey, I'm a modern smartphone. Can you hear me out of a finger of a thumb at least? Thanks. Fingerprint ID was introduced on phone in 2004. Fingerprint ID is new. Just look at all my features and when they were first seen. Touchscreen, 1992. GPS sat-nav, 1999. Camera, 2000. Bluetooth, 2001. Wireless charging, 2012. I'm also incredibly compact. The very first cordless handheld mobile phone developed by Motorola engineer Marnin Cooper in 1973. It was the size of a brick and weighed 1.1 kilogram. Help! Operator! My phone is too heavy! Crazily, early mobile phones were just used for talking. I'm on the train! We know what. Text messages, SMS, were introduced in 1992. Wild touchscreens. Weird, right? SMS stands for Short Message Service, if you were wondering. And what many consider to be the first smartphone came out in 1994. The IBM Simon, 20 centimetres, 1 hour battery life. Wow, 1 hour? Mine now works for like 5 or more. Can make calls and send texts and emails. Wow, that's easy. Every single thing can do that now, fortunately. However, it took until 1996 for a phone with internet access to appear. The Nokia communicator. The web had been invented in 1989 by Tim Berners-Lee. It's wonderful. And he has 3 W's, if you're wondering. 3 W's stand for World Wide Web. Nowadays, smartphones put a world of information onto the hands of over 3.5 billion people. Think I'll just check that figure. Not that all users are that smart. Oops, dropped it. Allegedly, 19% of phone damage is caused by toilet water. Luckily, there are still other ways to find things out. Got any books? Got any books on history? And that's in the library. They went to the library and the Pooganoo book is there. Ah, now this is the one that I think you might like. A Day in the Life of the Future. Hello, I'm a fragment of the future. History never stops happening, so who knows what I might be. After reading this book, you've seen lots of stuff that happened in the past. And so I could be something bad, something good, or hopefully something brilliant. It might even evolve you. So go ahead and imagine some history that hasn't happened yet. We are looking forward to that. Have a great day. Bye. Goodbye. See ya, thanks for reading. And that is the end of the book, the glossary. There's the glossary and the index. Right now, we're going to read some more. I'm going to tell you a bit more of stuff. Now, me and my friends Theo, or Sheen, Cosin, James, have started a comic club. That might make history. A lot of M's. That might make history. 2 M's, but there's still a lot, isn't there? You might have noticed that last time I said we would read Transformers or Dr. Seuss's Sleep Book. Well, you might have remembered we are now in Nannies, so I couldn't find it. But in our next episode, we'll be released in Malaysia because of our holiday. Bye. But you can still hear it over the world if you're wondering. It won't just be released in Malaysia. Bye.